Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, certified coach, and energy master, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and wellness in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to help you shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us today. And I am so excited because we're doing something that's very different from what I've done here before, because I have one, two, three, four amazing people who are going to be part of this show today, and they are all here representing a wonderful new book that's coming out, hopefully, cross your fingers, very, very soon, Mission Hope, The Power of Love. Love is very, very powerful, and these co-authors have put a lot of work, love, and heart into their chapters. We're going to go into them a little bit and find out a little bit behind what's behind the chapters and a little bit about these wonderful people. And we're going to start with Charlotte Murphy, who is actually the creator of this incredible series. So, Char Murphy, hello, step up to the plate.
Hello, hello, good morning.
How are you
today? I'm wonderful. How are you all?
Great. They're going to be very quiet waiting for you to talk.
Okay, well, I'm talking. How is everybody this morning?
Wonderful.
Can you hear me?
Divinely well.
We're good. Good, 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 good.
So,
well,
Char,
we have the stars here.
A little bit about what's behind the series and why you're doing it, and then we'll move forward.
Okay, very briefly, it's a long story, but I'm going to make it as brief as possible. The series was inspired by divine spirit, God, whatever you want to, however you want to refer to it, in a meditation, sort of a dream state where I was really asking the universe, what in the world, in the midst of all that's going on, what does the world really need right now? And the answer just came immediately that it was hope, faith, love, joy, and gratitude, grace and gratitude, really. And that was given in a sequence that was then told to me that will be in a series of books. Each book will have that, we start with hope, and then we go to faith, and there'll be books, and there will be authors that will write their stories of hope, faith, love, grace, joy, gratitude in each book of the series. And
I have a question.
Of course.
I want to focus on this particular book because the others, you know, we've talked about. And this is one, this third one in the series is called The Power of Love. And a lot of the authors here today are going to speak directly about that and about their chapter. So tell us a little bit of what that means to you and what that, you know, again, you're the one that has looked at all the chapters. I haven't even seen the book yet, folks. So describe it a little bit for our listeners.
You will, very soon. Well, so the reason I gave that little background, you asked me for the series, how it came about. So that was that in a nutshell. So, yes, we are now on Volume 3, which is Love. And that one is, there's so many questions about love and what is love and what does love really mean? What does love really look like? How do you feel love? How do you give love? How has love showed up in your life as an author in this book? And we have 20 authors total. So they all wrote their chapters on their own experiences, and this is not a steamy love novel. It is not in any, no one wrote about romantic love at all. They're all unique and different and wonderful. So with that, that's pretty much it. They answered the questions, and it's amazing. It's deep. It was difficult because those are difficult questions to answer when you start to really nail it down. It's individual. Everyone has a unique perspective on love and what it means to them. So these authors did a fantastic job. All of them did a fantastic job of describing love, what it means to them. So
beautiful.
Here we have the other, we have three of those authors with us today.
Wonderful. So, and each one has a very different, like you said, Shar, a very different story, a very different way of seeing love within their lives, and are going to share some of that today.
Yes.
Would you like to just introduce the names, and then I'm going to talk to each one, and we'll converse together.
Perfect. Well, we have Elizabeth Urabe, who is from.
No, you don't have to do. Just introduce the names because they're going to introduce themselves a little bit. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. We have Elizabeth Urabe. We have Maria Lettman, and we have Babian Avila, who is
beautiful.
They all, yes.
Thank you. So let's start, since Maria was actually there first. She came on first today. I want to start a little bit with you, Maria.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about your chapter.
Sure. I guess I was early because I'm ahead of you guys several hours. So I'm based in Finland. I live very close to Helsinki, to the capital city. And I'm actually working in the IT industry in an kind of across the world type of role in marketing and social media. And I also write a lot on the side of it to this catalyst. And then I got to know Char actually through that network. And so I ended up writing for her, and this is my third anthology that I contributed to. So it's been quite exciting. And it was interesting because this is a topic I have not written about before. So complete surprise.
Well, again, you know, I'm sure it's beautiful, and you're talking about, you called it the Auntie Chronicles, Loving Without Limits, which I love that title, Without Limits. Love needs to be limitless, and that's so important. So can you share a little bit about your story? I don't want to give too much away because I want our listeners to buy the book, but go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think people will buy it anyway because it's been really interesting that a lot of women have come to me separately saying that I so want to read this, whether or not they have children or not. I don't have any. And it was the decision I had to make very early in my life. I was probably 19, and I had inherited a host of, I guess you could say, DNA-reflected chronic illnesses. So it would have been extremely difficult. It was pregnancy difficult in my family as well. So I had to make a decision, and, you know, I had to live with that decision and take the responsibility and find peace with it as well during the journey. And I find that a lot of women, they cannot talk about it. It's like a taboo, you know. And if you don't have children, you might get, you know, get a lot of feelings of guilt, and people will almost try to, you know, put you in that position, put you on the spot and question you about it. So I wanted to talk, speak up and tell them that it's going to be okay. You can love and you can help so many people around you that you could not do if you had a family of your own. So it's I really loved writing it, and I hope it's a topic that I can write further about, you know, in the future as well.
Beautiful. Thank you. Now, I don't have children, and I always feel that the people that I work with and help to some extent are my children. And I'm just going to share something real quickly. One day, one of my cousins came to me and said, could you please talk to my mom? She keeps talking about wanting to have grandchildren, and I don't want children. So I went to my cousin, my first cousin, and I said, you know, one of the most wonderful things about my mother was she never pressured me about having kids. And my cousin said, oh, she spoke to you. I won't give her a name. I said, yes, but but that's important. Because, again, we don't need to feel guilty, like you said, Maria. We need to feel blessed. You have connections with your children and being an aunt and a godmother. And so, you know, you have bonds and connections with children that bring you and them so much joy and so much beautiful connection. So that's really very important. Thank you for sharing. Let's see. Babian, I hope I pronounced your name right. Can you step
yes,
up?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Dr.
And tell
Jan.
Us a little
thank you.
You, and we'll move forward.
Absolutely. I'm Babian Vila, and I live in northern New Jersey, about 50 minutes north of New York City. I'm New York City-based born, and I do a myriad of things. I'm a musician as well as an author, a singer-songwriter, and recording artist, and I'm also an intuitive channel, angel channel, and I actually studied mediumship when I was quite young, and I've had that gift since I was a child. So I've what I'm doing now is my urge was always to blend the music as a healing force with my mediumship and intuitive work and counseling, and I'm currently also studying to be an RTC therapist. But I've always been drawn to counseling, and I was also an ordained minister in New York City, and I use that for the type of counseling that I started with, and I've expanded since then. But healing is very important to me, and that's how I came about meeting Char and got involved in this series.
Beautiful. And we've listened to some of your music, and it's amazing. So thank you for that, because that's a
thank
gift
you
that
you
so many people. So tell us a little bit about your chapter, which sounds very connected to healing in some way with respect
yes.
to your son.
Thank you. Prior to the story in the chapter is about the birth of my son and what happened and how we got through the first 2 weeks pretty much of his life. He's now 28, thankfully. I had lost a child 2 months before. Suddenly, 5.6 months in utero, and that was a devastating loss, and the circumstances around it I won't go into now. They are in the second book. of Mission Hope. But what happened was it was a traumatic experience, and I was told not to get pregnant again for at least 6 months by my OBGYN. And of course, 2 months later, God and Spirit had a different decision for me, and I did get pregnant. And my husband has, you know, had been passed about 8.5 years ago as well. So at that point, he was alive, and he was born late, 2 weeks late. And in the 1990s, normally you would think you would go in for a C-section, but they did not want me to do that. So they decided that we're going to go natural as much as we can. And I had to be induced twice. And he did, you know, I don't want to get into too many details, but what happened was he was birthed well, and he was alive and kicking, so to speak, but they took him away from me after about a half an hour and then told me that his breathing was erratic and he stopped breathing several times and I would have to go home and he would have to stay in the hospital for 2 weeks. So the crux of the story was the power of love. For me, love is the most important thing and the substance of what the universe is made of, including all of us and the planets and everything in our universe, universal system, quantum system. And what did I do? My healing was through music. So I went to the hospital every day and pumped breast milk and basically sang to him in English and Spanish. My husband was from Ecuador. So I sang to him in both languages, and I wrote a song called Te Quiero Danilo, which was his name, while they were pricking him with needles for 2 weeks. And I was not about to lose another child. And thankfully, Spirit did deliver dreams to me that showed me I would have two healthy children. And amazingly enough, my second child, my daughter Alexia, is also on this book. So she's 26 now. So I was a very lucky young woman, and love, to put it mildly, love has sustained me throughout my life in every possible way. And my husband made a visit to me early this morning, and gave me a big hug. And I've never had that particular experience before.
But he's with us now.
I guess he knew I was going to be here today, and he wanted to know he was here supporting me. So I attest that to the power of love. It goes beyond time and space. Thank you.
Yes. And he's here with us. And you wrote something that I'm going to read real fast. Love is the strength that kept me going after my previous loss. And love does that. Love sustains us in so many different ways. We'll get into that in a little bit. But last but not least, Elizabeth.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Urabe, and I'm located on a mountain in northern Arizona, literally in the middle of nowhere, where heaven and earth meet. And I call myself a spirit art medium, and each word in there is very important, especially the word medium, because like Badian, I see myself as a channel for universal energies. And what happens is pure energy comes through me and takes a form, whether it's words and poetry, whether it's two-dimensional art. I've channeled about 800 incredibly powerful pieces of art since 1995. Whether it's the words that I'm speaking, that energy takes a form that more people can relate to. And what that does is allows the infinite and essential power of love to reach more people on a level that they can interact with it and understand. So spirit art medium, and I'll tell you, my heart is beating so fast just at the power of love that I've felt in every single word from each person that's spoken so far, that I'm not often tongue-tied, but I'm actually finding myself a little bit at a loss for words just from the pure energy and love rushing in. So I want to thank you all for being here with me today.
Well, you're doing a beautiful job, and that's so important. So you are all incredible and gifted in so many ways and so many different ways, and joining together today, I feel very honored having you here. I'm going to ask some questions, but I read something. Love is the voice of the soul. So that, to me, really, really, really touched me this morning, because it's like, yeah, I mean, love is is within us, and it's like our soul speaking in such a wonderful way. So in terms of love, what is it about love that we need? Obviously, as Char said, it's not necessarily about romantic love, but what is so important about love? Somebody, anybody?
Go ahead.
This is Elizabeth again. I wanted to touch on what both Maria and Joanne said about not having children, because it's so easy to have an idea in our minds about what love is, but it transcends our minds. And the reason that children come to heart mind for me is that one of the central parts of both of my chapters in the Mission Hope series is that when my two children were only 7 and 12 years old, I got on a plane and left Japan, where I'd been living for 16 years, and went to California to follow what I call the command of the heart. And, you know, in the traditional way of thinking about love, a mother certainly does not leave her children, even though it was in the hands of a very capable and loving father, and go do what I did in California. But because I was 100% surrendered to spirit, acting in a pure love beyond anything that my mind could conceive, what my actions did was pave the way for both of my children to recognize when the time came for them that they needed to follow the command of the heart and be warriors of spirit and take leaps of faith that they probably would not have ever been able to do had I not done what I did. And as a perfect example, the 12-year-old daughter who I left in Japan ended up moving to California, joining me right after she graduated from high school, moved to Arizona when my new partner and I moved to Arizona. Within 6 weeks, found her husband and was she was pregnant and married within the year, and she is one of the most happily mother of two teenager. She's ecstatically healthy and happy in a family with her children. So, you know, it's not that we can know ahead of time how things are going to work out, but the universe demands that we be willing to leap before we look, follow what the heart is telling us to do with absolute faith. And my loving and heartfelt belief is that that's what paves the way for other people to do the same thing under very challenging circumstances and have it work out in a way that's mutually beneficial for everyone.
Beautiful. I love it. And what's also so important from what you said is that oftentimes many parents want their kids to be in my business or you know, take over whatever, but that's not what you did. You just left it open and actually allowed them to follow their own hearts and their own inner guidance to be and create and experience love and joy. So that's a beautiful thing. Okay. Who else wants to step up?
To me, love and music and healing are all one. And I grew up as an only child and spent a huge amount of time alone because my mother was a college professor and my father was an accountant, and neither of them were home much. So I had to find my way because I just felt lonely a lot of the time. And love and music were the things I turned to when I got a little bit down. And I have to say that was my saving grace. Writing music, loving music, singing music, that kept me going through my, and also through my teen years when my mother got very ill and passed away. So it's all about healing and vibrational frequency for me, love, and that without it, we wouldn't be here on Earth. I believe that it is the actual substance that is the God force in us all. That's my personal belief. And the higher we move in the love quotient, the higher frequency we emit, and the more love and healing goes out to those around us and the areas that we live as well.
And I love it, and that's so very, very true. And music is loving, not only for yourself because you were creating it and singing it, but it's also when other people hear it. I know that when it lifts me when I'm down and helps me feel a sense of joy and a sense of purpose and a sense of connection. So music can produce and put out love to so many people that it touches, and that's wonderful. Okay. Who's next?
This is Maria. I thought that this actually reminded me of quite a fun experience during the writing when we were writing on stories, and then Sharp was getting a bit worried, does everybody get this, you know, and she sent this email out right in the middle when I was in the middle of writing, you know, in the zone, and she came, you know, through mobile, like messenger, and she was like, you got to read this message, have you read it? And I was so annoyed, I was like, I know what I'm doing, you know, I was just like, yeah, because in Finland, I realized the difference is that we don't use the word love. You know, it's like a heavy, heavy thing. So the word is rakastaa. So it's not even a very light word. So when you actually say that to somebody, you really mean it. So it's not something that just rolls off your tongue and you don't say, I love cereals. You know, it just doesn't go that way. So I guess I've always had this really, you know, I've held love as something very precious and a creative force that can basically heal and create anything. And that's what I wanted to reflect in the story. But it was just so funny because I completely understood where Char was coming from. And, yeah, but it was just funny the way it played out in the end, but I'm happy everybody likes the story.
I can't wait. I can't wait to read it, Maria. I said to Char, can I see the book? I mean, can I get some idea? But it wasn't ready yet for all of that. I love what everybody's saying. And I used to teach children with autism and special needs. And again, I didn't have children, but I always felt connected to the families and the children and to the people that I serve. So to me, it's like I have so many children that I can't count. And I think that's so, so and so important. So we were talking about love, and love is so important. How do we, and given everything that's going on this planet these days, how do we make sure that we are spreading and connecting more love so that there is less violence and less greed and less hate and less injustice? Anybody?
This is Beth.
Okay,
go ahead, Debbie.
I'm sorry. Just quickly, I believe, and it has actually been proven through physicists, that love is a stronger force than hate. And so therefore, love, if it was channeled in a direct line, could cut like a sword through anything and stop the hate. And I know that sounds a little out there, but I don't believe that. I believe it was created that way, and the one thing I believe that can stop war is love. And I think the mission that we're on is specifically about that, because people, especially in the last few years with so much that everyone's gone through with COVID and many, many other things and wars, people are losing hope, and people need to know that there is love out there for them. And so the tiniest little, but a smile to someone on the street, or just giving someone your time if they're elderly and can't get out, or just the tiniest little offerings of kindness and love, I think the ripple effect is huge. And that is why I got involved with Char in this mission. I believe in it 100%. I'm passionate about it. I think it's incredible, and I think it's really, the timing is perfect for that.
And I totally agree with Right. I totally agree with you. And what is important is that we are all here, all of us right now, and putting out that energy of love. And that energy of love is deep, is profound, and does have a very strong ripple effect. And I love what you said, because in the mornings I'll go out and during my power walk and I'll say, oh, I love your hair, your dog is adorable, you know, whatever it is, bring smiles and connection, and to spread something that's like joy and love and all of that gratitude, and we need it. So all of you are actually on this incredible mission, not only of hope, but of love and faith and joy and all of it. So I'm just very excited to be a part of it. Okay, who else?
I was going to share something that I learned about 40 years ago from what I would call my first truth teacher. And by the way, Babian, I love everything that you just said, and I totally resonate with it. He taught me the idea that projection makes perception, meaning that we can't see anything in the world that isn't the outer reflection of something inside us. So in order to bring love to this world, we each need to understand that whatever we perceive, whether it's a thought or a feeling or an action or what's going on in the world, is actually a reflection of something in our subconscious. And each of us is a jigsaw puzzle, and we need to put all of the pieces back into it in order to be whole human beings. And some of those pieces are very pretty and all the things that we're good at and we're proud of. And a lot of those pieces are not beautiful. We've all done things and said things and been part of actions that we know were less than our best. And it's very easy to sweep those under the rug and only focus on the things that we believe that we like about ourselves. But I think it's more important now than ever that those of us who are here and listening to this conversation, that we really step up and realize that 99.9% isn't good enough. Whatever the 1% is that each of us might be trying to put off facing or not taking full and radical responsibility for, that's precisely what we need to be owning so that we can step fully into our power and choose love, not because we're afraid of the opposite, but because who wouldn't choose beauty and kindness and benefit mutually beneficial circumstances for everyone if they understood that they had a choice. So projection makes perception. We can't see or be aware of anything that's not part of us. And if we don't understand that, it means it's still subconscious and we've got more healing work to do within ourselves in order to bring that piece of our puzzle into full view and full acceptance.
And so very, very true and important. So how do we, again, what we need to do is also recognize that despite the flaws that we may have and other kinds of challenges that we've gone through, how do we create and be within ourselves, resonate love to ourselves? It's, you know, we always think about putting it out there and it's important, but many people do not know how to love themselves. What do we do with that, buddy?
I think of meditation, but I want to hear from someone else.
Me too. Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing that we have to understand is going back to what Beth just said, is that not only is love within all of us, we were all created from love and we are love. People need to understand that they in their physical and conscious self are love. They are love. Everyone is love. Everyone is made of love. So when we realize that, when we really understand what that means, it's much easier to project that kind of love. You project yourself, and you're projecting love. That's
beautiful.
My take on it.
Yes, that's beautiful. Yep, exactly. And that's where the choice is. You know, the projection of things that we don't like is an attempt to deny it, to not own it. But the irony is that it just comes back harder if we don't own it. And so, you know, we need to stop in the face of what I call original wound pain. And that's kind of where we all are right now. We're at the very source of the belief that it's possible for us to be separated from God or source or whatever you call it. And we each have a wound that takes a different form, but in essence, it's exactly the same, and it's where all fear comes from. Once each of us as an individual meets that fear, then we will literally be the embodiment and just pure flames of love, igniting fires of love in everything that we touch and everything we see and everything that we're a part of. And the mission hope, that's a big part of what's happening. And I see it happening between us as co-authors and with Char and Joanne. Mm-hmm. And this conversation is the reflection and the embodiment of the power of love. Just think of Maria's in Finland and two of you on the East Coast. I'm in Arizona and Char's in Arkansas and people are listening all over the world. That's the power of love in embodied action.
So incredible and so beautiful. So very, very true. You know, years ago I was doing a presentation and we were talking about forgiveness and somebody stood up and said, I was raped. I am angry. This was it happened years ago. She said, and I will never, ever forgive that person. And we had a conversation about it as a group. Mm-hmm. And I think part of, I don't know why I'm bringing it up, but part of love is not only forgiving ourselves for our shortcomings or for things that we've done, but also being able to forgive other people so that we can spread more love and move forward. And when we just hold on to that, whatever it is, anger, hurt, and we just don't let it go, it grows within us like a malignancy. And it's so important to be able to bring love forward despite what has happened. Does anybody want to respond to that in some way?
I would like to quickly on that, because clients bring that up to me a lot. And what I offer to them is you're forgiving them for yourself. And I work with the whole Ho'oponopono prayer, which is the Hawaiian prayer for forgiveness. And I like to do it with music, where you're forgiving yourself, you're forgiving the other, and I love you, I love myself, I forgive you, I forgive myself, and over and over and over again, and it's soul to soul. And it, when you do that kind of work, the other person feels it directly through the higher self and the soul. So it bypasses the conscious mind and all the duality involved and goes straight to the soul. And I've had a lot of rewarding outcomes with that. So that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I've done that too with people, and that forgiveness projects outward and inward, and it's so healing and so beautiful. And it allows us to kind of regenerate anew in a wonderful way. So that's so important.
If I could put in here, you just opened the door for a story that I was thinking about sharing, and now I know I have to share it. The psychologist, the spiritual psychologist who taught me the teaching, projection makes perception, had that brought home to him through this very issue of women who had been beaten and battered and abused and all of that. And what he did was he worked with each one of them. The theory that he was working on was that there was something unconscious, subconscious inside each woman, not that they deserved it, but that was energetically attracting that kind of man into their world. And he had a series of questions that he would ask them almost in a hypnotic state. And he would say things like, if you were to know, how old were you when you decided that you were unworthy of love or that you needed to be punished or what was happening in your life? Each woman, he guided her back to the point in time, most often at the age of 3, which is when our most traumatic and most long-term experiences take place.
Wow.
He took each woman back to that point where she realized, oh, my God, I made a decision at that time that I was unlovable, that men couldn't be trusted, whatever it was, and she forgave herself, went back to the situation that she'd been in. Not one of the men ever touched her again. They either simply left her life or completely transformed because she had raised her vibration to a point where she wouldn't allow that kind of behavior in her world. So, you know, it's very easy to throw things out there about victims and narcissistic this and that, and all that does really is throw oil on the fire, because each of us truly is at the deepest level responsible for the vibration that we hold and what we attract into our lives. Every single woman, and he dealt with dozens of them, never had
any problems. And not just women, men too, because
exactly,
men, there are men
right.
that have gone through that. And that,
absolutely.
You know, that's so very important because when I work with people, we do go back in time and do that understanding about how do I not love myself and how do I forgive and whatever. And that really can be very transformative and important. So thank you for that. So we're here to spread love. And how is love healing? I mean, we all know that, but how do you present it?
I think to me, love is actually something that we've, you know, if I, listening to this conversation, it's pretty much what I think people first need to love and understand about love is self-worth. That was something that Mother Teresa always said, that you need to fix yourself because of, you know, before you can go fixing the world. And not in those words, but, you know, the thought. So I think in that process of starting that healing path, you need to accept who you are and value yourself as who you are. And even with all the shortcomings, you just need to give yourself some room and some slack. My grandmother, she was a very smart lady, lived through the world wars, you know, very tough environment. But she said that, you know, you're allowed to have all these emotions, like anger or regret or whatnot. It's not about not having them, but what do you do with them? So do you actually use them towards healing, towards letting something out, you know, and really wanting to get past it, or do you want to hurt other people with them? And that was really what I always think back to. I think that's the lesson that you need to, like, the step one to loving.
And
so
that is so wonderful. And if we just push the anger, the hurt, the whatever it is down, we never come to terms with it, even when we're angry with ourselves or we're feeling hurt or whatever, and we need to be able to move past it. I'm reminded of, and I don't know where I read this or whatever, it was this woman who actually, her son was killed by a man and he was in prison, and she went to the prison and spoke with him and forgave him, that brought me to tears because that was, I mean, it was her son, her beloved son, it was her only son, and she had the wherewithal and the strength and the understanding of love to move past that and forgive this man, which to me was amazing.
That's incredible.
Anybody want? Yeah. All right. So anybody else have a question about love, have a topic about love that we can talk about? Char? I'm picking on you today.
Sure.
Wow. I'm just, why am I not surprised that I'm speechless too, Beth? You guys are just so amazing and so full of love and everything good. I am so grateful for every one of you all. And I'm just going to let you all keep going because I'm enjoying this listening. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so that quote, love is the voice of the soul. How do we connect with that? And we've all talked about that in some way, but let's bring that out even further because it's within us. We are love, as has been said, and we can emanate love and share love and vibrate it. And how do we connect with that soul consciousness with love? Anybody?
I have a little something to say about that. I believe that each one of us was born with a mission. And what I find when I work with my clients or friends There are people that just, especially people that are suffering from low self-worth, and I've had those moments in my life as well. That's been one of my issues throughout my life, or at least my younger years. If people don't believe they have a purpose on the planet, sometimes they do go into the dark hole of depression and they have a hard time getting out. But when they feel that they can contribute in any way, and they find that mission, whatever talent it is, I'm such a big believer that no one here is here for no reason. We are all here for our specific mission. And I think as long as people can wrap themselves around that, especially their hearts around it more than their minds, but the mind and the heart connecting are much more powerful, they will find their own happiness. Because they will be here for an important reason. And I think that will help so much in the mental health area.
You know, that's so very important, and I agree. And it doesn't have to be a huge mission. It doesn't have to be like, you know, it has to be something that comes from within, like you said, from our hearts. And there's so much joy when we connect with that, when we realize why we're here, when we feel and have that sense of purpose. And I love that because it is so true. And when we find it, we feel a sense of ease and a sense of peace within ourselves, and we're so ready. I mean, I believe we're here to serve in whatever capacity that we have and can do. And I think that just what you said is beautiful. Anybody else?
Thank you.
So beautiful. What it boils down to is that, you know, we live, especially in the United States and Western so-called advanced countries, pardon the snort of derision, where we live in a culture of comparison where everybody's trying to get ahead of everybody else. But the bottom line is that each human being is like a snowflake, 100% original and 100% unique. And it doesn't matter whether your job is being a garbage man or president of a country. Your mission is to fulfill being the snowflake that you were born to be. And you cannot embrace that and radiate the essence of who you are until you stop trying to be like some other snowflake. So,
I love that.
Yes.
That's so very true. There was a delivery guy that I was, when I do my power walk, who was carrying these huge packages and leaving it on somebody's doorstep. And I said to him, wow, you are amazing. Because, I mean, I couldn't do that lifting, nor would I want to. But there he was, and he smiled, and he just said, thank you. And I don't know why I said that, but it just made sense. So, anybody else?
A shoemaker. I lived in Japan.
Okay, let's
for
go with this first.
Go ahead. Me? I'm sorry. Again, you're reminding me of a very specific story. When I lived in Japan for 16 years, there was a shoe repairman who lived in a tiny 6-tatami mat room in the shop that his father and his grandfather and his great grand, and he spent all day long repairing shoes. And I remember I went in there once, and he didn't have to say a word. He just emanated love and the energy of someone who knows that they're doing what they were born to do and giving their heart and soul to it. And I never forgot we never exchanged a word. I never forgot what it felt to be in the presence of someone just in complete humility as the snowflake that he was born to be in his original spot. No comparison, no, just pure love and pure joy and pure happiness and contentment, I think, is the most important. You know you found love when you're content. Much more than happiness, because happiness is fleeting and depends on things. Contentment is a state of the heart that says we know what our snowflake looks like, and we're proud of it, and we're happy to be that snowflake and don't want to be anybody else's.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, who else was going to talk? Speak up.
I thought I could. This actually reminded me, about a joke, funny enough. But about the mind basically arguing with the heart about which direction to go to. And they keep figuring about it. And then the soul says, well, when you take a moment, when you have time, I can show you the way. So the soul is there just waiting for them to stop and start guiding the way. And I think that's what we as people very often forget. And that's where the voice is. So we have that architecture. We have that mission within ourselves. And it's a gift and it's been given to every one of us. But we have to start from within, you know, listening to that voice and following those steps. And some of them will be easy, simple, quick to take, and some of them are more arduous. But either way, you know, I really, really hope that people have that courage to follow that voice.
And when we do, and that's so beautiful, yes, and when we do, there's so much, you said, contentment, so much ease, so much feeling, a sense of peace within ourselves,
yes,
that we're on the right track, we're connecting with our soul, our inner source, and that's so very beautiful. You guys are all amazing. I can't wait to read each one of your chapters because you all emanate love and beauty and strength in so many different ways, and it's beautiful. I want to have a celebration, Char. All the authors from all the anthologies, we can meet somewhere and dance and sing and be wild and loving and joyful together. So anybody else before we have some endings here? Anybody else want to talk about love?
Thank you for your story, Dr. Joanne, about the delivery man, because appreciation to me is also a form of love. People need appreciation. Everyone, every day, you know, it's just so important.
Including our animals.
Criticism. Including our animals and our plants.
Yes. I agree. I just did that this morning to one of my plants. I was touching it and saying, I'm sorry, I forgot about you yesterday.
I do the same thing. I play music for them, too.
So what I'd like us to do, each one of us, is what would you like to leave our listeners with? And let's start with Babian.
Oh, wow. Well, I want to tell all the listeners out there that we love all of you, and we're all about love, and we just, you know, all of us, it doesn't matter whether you're an author, a musician, like you said, a garbage collector, or a delivery man, it doesn't matter what you do, you're all important out there. Everyone is deserving of love. Everyone is here for a purpose and a reason. And please look inside yourselves and feel the love well up in your heart, especially when you're feeling low. And know that there is a divine presence that supports you. And go forward, follow your heart, and give it your 100%. And that's really what we're here for, I believe. And God bless everyone. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm. I'm just basking in the energy. I think what I would leave everyone with is that I'm sure there have been any one of a number of dozens of nuggets of just incredible wisdom that people have shared here today. But don't worry about remembering the words. Focus on the feeling, the experience in the heart of what it's like to be in that vibration of love and follow that. The words are so important. The words are just pointers to that experience that transcends all form. So that's what I think when we get very down and depressed, it's because we're believing some story in our minds that has absolutely nothing to do with the present moment. It's something that happened that we're judging and we're lost in it, a broken record before we realize it. Stay in the pure energy and the vibration that you know. Focus on your heartbeat. Watch the heartbeat, and immediately you'll reconnect to the source of your being.
Beautiful. Thank you. Maria?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this conversation actually reminded me about a very simple advice. So when physicians, so when you're up against a really tough decision, always think about the fact that it's not between right and wrong very often. It's about good and good. But one of the decisions may be better for you at that time. And one of my teachers showed me basically a simple technique of putting your fingers on your wrist just to feel your pulse and say out loud, you know, your option, and just listen and feel how your pulse changes basically based on that, and you will always know where to go and what to do and what to choose. So
wow.
Yeah, but that's also a way to learn love. Yeah.
Thank you. Char?
I am just sitting here with my eyes closed and my hands folded, and I'm reveling in the vibration of love right now. Just every cell in my body is on fire. I want to let our audience know that you're never alone. You are not alone ever. And you are love. You are loved. You are valuable. And you, like everyone else has said here, you do have a purpose. You have your own mission. You just need to open up your heart to it, let it in and connect with it, and let it flow, and let that love flow that you are. And I just have to say, the opportunity to read this book for 99 cents, that's coming out next week,
ooh,
is our gift to you, because it is our birthday party and we are going to celebrate all together. For that one day, that is our gift to you of love, because we do love you and we want you to feel our love. So that's what I would leave everyone with today.
Thank you. And I want to thank every one of you for sharing your heart, sharing everything from coming from that place of love and that place of healing and connection, because you're all beautiful souls. And thank you so much for your mission in this world and your mission in this book to really send out to so many people, including ourselves, the power, the beauty, the essence of love. Thank you so much. And for all our listeners, remember all of what's in you, the connection of love, that source energy that's within you, that's who you are. Vibrate it not only to yourself but to everybody, however you do it, however large or small, and let's create a world of more love that resonates with joy, hope, faith, and thank you for joining us. Have a beautiful day.
Joanne,
thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Joanne.
Thank you. Take care.
Blessings, everyone.
You've been listening
have
to the Power
day.
Your Life radio show with host and author Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to enrich you and grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again and visit docwhite.org for more information and find out how Dr. Joanne can benefit you. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.